You have your Bibles open to the 4th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We shall read verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the Gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Then I want you to turn with me to John's Gospel, please. And we shall begin to read the 9th chapter and read verse 1 through 7. John's Gospel, chapter 9, we shall begin to read with verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to speak to you tonight along the line of the subject of healing, because I know from my own experience of 29 years ago or 30 years ago when I lay on the bed of affliction, that there were some questions in my mind that had to be settled before my faith could be effective. And I'm glad in these scriptures tonight that we have the answers to many questions that crowd into our minds and stop the flow of healing. We must get these questions settled, because as long as there are questions in our minds, then there will be doubt in our minds. And as long as there's doubt, then the flow of healing will certainly be stopped. Many are bothered with such questionings. I was when I came seeking healing. And I'll tell you just about the time that I found one answer, the devil will bring up something else. And it'd take me some time, weeks and months, to find the answer to that one. When I got that one answered, he'd bring up another question. Many are bothered with the question of whether or not it's God's will to heal. The devil endeavors to make some people think that it's God's will that you be sick. Some think, well, it's God's will to heal some, but there's others it's not His will. And I heard that one too. I mean, heard it preached. And so the devil came along and he kept telling me, after he saw I was going to believe in healing anyhow, well, he said, all right, healing, so all right, but it's not His will to heal everybody. And then he said to me, you're one of those that is not His will to heal. Well, it's awfully difficult to believe God. In fact, it's just impossible to believe God to heal you, and at the same time believe that you're one of those that is not His will to heal. You stop the healing flow. And so many folks are bothered with such questions. Is it God's will to heal, and is it God's will to heal me? Does God afflict the human body? Some folks are trying to tell you that's so. The devil tried to tell me that was so a long time concerning myself. That God had afflicted me. That He was punishing me for my wrongdoing in past life. And I listened to it for a while. And finally I said to the Lord, and to the devil too. I said to the devil first and then the Lord. I said, well now, Mr. Devil, if that's so, I was born that way. I was born afflicted. I was born with a deformed heart and serious internal trouble. Well, what's he punishing me for something that I did? And if I did something on backhand, I don't know it. And so that must not be true. That must not be true. Well, then sometimes the devil would say, well, now you're sick, you know, because of something your parents did. That's what the apostles thought here. Who sinned? This man or his parents? Now, some people said, but Jesus said the man's, it's not because he sinned or his parents, but he is sick just so God could heal him. That's not what the scripture said. But that the works of God may be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. Praise the Lord. While it is called day. Jesus didn't say. We know from reading the word of God, of course, that sin and the devil are to blame for sickness and disease. Not necessarily this man's sin or his parents, but the sin of Adam in the beginning. But Jesus said that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, if you stop reading there, you'd say, well, he is sick just so God could heal him. Well, wouldn't that be a terrible thing to accuse God of? That here's a grown man that's been blind all of his life, and God made him blind just so he could heal him. I'll tell you, he wouldn't be much of a God, would he? Are you hearing me? If that was true, I wouldn't be much interested in him. But thank God that's not true. Now notice what Jesus said. He said, actually, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. And he immediately did the works of God by healing the man. Thank God, Christ is the deliverer. Christ is the life giver. Christ is the life saver. And Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Is God the author of the sufferings that are in this world today? Well, these questions demand an answer. And thank God the Bible has the answer. And we can believe God's word and be delivered, and we can doubt if we want to and remain bound. But it's for me, thank God, for the privilege to believe the word. I was reading from the pen of John Alexander Dowie, and in about 1875 or 1876, along about then, he was pastor of a Congregationalist church in Australia. And the bubonic plague came to that land, and people were dying, just like flies. And actually, he said that he had buried 40 members of his church in recent time. And he had 4 more members dead, waiting to be buried. And he said he sat in his study with his arms folded on his desk and his head lying in his arms, weeping, crying, sobbing his heart out before God. He said, I said to the Lord, O God, are you the author of sickness and disease? Did you send this terrible plague on this land? Are you going to destroy my whole congregation? I tell you, brother, if some churches, if 40 members died, they wouldn't have many left, would they? And if the 4 waiting to be buried, already dead, and waiting to be buried, 44 members just in a matter of a few days, or a matter of a very few weeks at the most, would take a terrible toll in some congregations, wouldn't it? Well, Lord, he said, are you the author of death? Did you send this thing? Are you going to take my whole congregation? Am I not going to have anybody left? Where did this come from? Who's the cause of it? What is the cause of it? Who stands back of it? Those questions were in his mind. Those questions were the ones that he was asking the Lord. At the same time, weeping, sobbing his heart out. And he said, as I was there with my head in my arms, weeping and crying, suddenly in my spirit, to my heart, thank God the Holy Spirit spoke. He said that verse of Scripture, though I was not thoroughly familiar with it, I did know it was Scripture, I knew it was in the Bible, but Acts 10:38 was spoken to my spirit. On the inside of me, something just simply spoke up and said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he said it was just like somebody turned a light on the inside of me. I got the revelation of it. I saw it immediately. Jesus is the deliverer. Satan is the oppressor. Praise God. And he said, then I saw it. I saw the light. I said to the Lord, then, Lord, help me now to preach this to my congregation. Help me to get this truth over to my people so that they can see it and enjoy the results thereof. And so he said, while I yet sat there in my church study, meditating upon what the Lord had revealed to me by the Holy Spirit, I heard running footsteps across the sanctuary and a pounding, a knocking on the outer door to my study. And at my command to come in, there were 2 young men burst into the room. And one of them said to me, Mother wants you to come quickly. Mary is dying. And so he said, I jumped up from that place, from my study and desk, and without getting my hat or my coat, I dashed down the street, hatless and coatless, into the home of one of my members. And as I rushed in, there a little 12-year-old girl lay on the bed, and she was in convulsions with a bloody froth running out of her mouth. That's the way they die. And so he said, as I walked into the room, the doctor, the medical doctor, was there. And as I walked into the room, he picked up his hat and medical valise or bag to leave. And so he said, he looked up at me, and he said to me, talking to Dr. Dowie, the minister, he said, Doctor, how mysterious does God move his wonders to perform? And so he said, I came from that place fresh with revelation from God, and though this doctor, medical doctor, is a member of my church, and I looked to him and I said, Doctor, how dare you call that the work of God? My God never afflicted any little 12-year-old girl with such a terrible disease. The God I know didn't cause her to have convulsions and the bloody froth running out her mouth and cause her to die prematurely. Sir, he said, I said to him, that's not the work of God, that's the work of the devil. And then he said, I said to him, you are a Christian, you're a member of my church, to the medical doctor, sir, can you pray the prayer of faith that will save this child? And he said, that doctor said to me, you better just take your hand off of God's work and leave it alone, and left. Now, isn't that strange? That when folks die, they call it God's work, but as long as they can keep them alive by giving them medicine, you know, or anything else while he administered to them, and then that wasn't opposing God or working against God though then. Isn't that strange? But when it comes to praying, then that was working against God. Oh, isn't that foolish? So he said, I turned to the mother then and said, why did you call for me? She said, to pray. He said, I cannot remember my prayer, but I do know this, that I lifted my voice to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And I reminded him how he was Israel's healer in the Old Testament. And I reminded him how that Christ healed when he was on the earth. And then I reminded him that the Word of God said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and that the Word of God said that Jesus was sent to deliver us and that Satan was the oppressor. And I reminded God the Father that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I concluded by saying to God the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke this death and command it to leave this girl and this disease as well. And he said immediately the girl stopped in her convulsions and fell into a deep sleep. Such a deep sleep that the mother thought she had died. And actually a nurse that was present also thought she had died. And he said, I said to them, no. Put my finger to my lips, said, she isn't dead. She's healed. She just fell into a deep sleep. And so he said, we let her sleep there just 2 or 3 minutes. And said, then I snapped my finger in her ear and said, Mary, Mary. And she opened her eyes and looked up and saw her mama and said, oh, mommy. Oh, she stretched and said, I feel so good. I've been asleep for so long. Been about 3 minutes. Oh, I feel so good. And Dr. Davis said, I said to her, and you're hungry. He said, I remember. I didn't know about anything like this. It was new to him. But I remembered when Jesus ministered there, you remember, he said to give him something to eat. And so he said, I said, and you're hungry. Oh, yes, she said, I'm so hungry. Well, he said, all right. To the nurse, said, you fix her a cup of chocolate, hot chocolate, and a piece of bread, butter. So they fixed it, and she ate it. He said, I went in the next room and prayed for her brother, who was also in the early stages of the condition, and he was healed. And he said, I ministered to every member of my church who was sick, and they were healed. And I buried the four that were dead, and not a single one of my members then died. Praise God forevermore, because I brought that truth. I got that truth over to them. Well, my friends, that revelation that came to that Congregationalist minister back about 1875 is still true today. And this scripture said here that Jesus in the synagogue of Nazareth, his hometown, on the Sabbath day when the book of Isaiah was delivered unto him, found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. And that's what Peter was saying there in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. John says in his first epistle that concerning Jesus, the Son of God, that he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He went about doing good and healing all. I like that. Doing good and healing. That's good, isn't it? That's good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. My friends, again, the word says in Luke the 9th chapter, you remember, Jesus made this statement, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The Bible pictures Jesus not as a destroyer, but a deliverer. And that's what Dr. Dowie saw that day by revelation, that Jesus is the deliverer, Satan is the destroyer. And thank God that's still true today. And thank God that deliverance belongs to us in this life. Now that scripture that Brother Bagwell quoted here and wrote in his Bible, the basis and the ground for his faith for healing, Matthew 8:17 said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And you know, it's amusing to what lengths that some folks will go to try to get around that verse of scripture. I was reading some time ago after one minister, and so he said, now, yes, it's true, all right, that's in the Bible. But he said, now, Jesus just took the diseases and sicknesses and bare the sicknesses and diseases of those people that were on earth while he was here. And that's fulfilled. When he healed them, that scripture was fulfilled. And I thought about as I read that, see, what he is trying to prove was that healing from sickness and disease is not for us, but that when it said himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, that just applied to the sick and the disease of the generation in which Jesus lived. And I thought immediately when I read that from the pen of that supposedly renowned minister, I thought to myself, to whom was Jesus sent? I thought, well, John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus wasn't just given to that generation or to the world then. He was given for all time to the world. For God so loved the world. I thought, well, you could use that man's argument and prove that salvation isn't for folks nowadays. No, everything that Jesus bought, everything that he secured, belongs to us today just as much as it did to them then. Because it said God so loved the world. Didn't say he so loved that generation or the world that then was. It said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That not only includes salvation, that includes everything that Jesus bought. Well, then I was reading after another minister, and he thought he had it figured out. He's going to try to prove, you see, that healings and all isn't for us nowadays. And so he said, well, now it's true, all right. That scripture's there, that it said himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. But he said, of course, we haven't entered into the fullness of our redemption yet. And of course, in a sense, he's right, all right. Our body hasn't been redeemed yet, and that's true. Thank God the time's coming when we are going to have a new body. But he said we're going to reap the benefits of being delivered from sickness and disease during the millennium. Then we can reap the benefits of being redeemed from sickness and disease. And I thought when I read that, well, that won't do the church any good then. This part of redemption then would never help the church. Now remember, there are going to be natural people there during the millennium, all right. But, and it would help them, all right. But, we're going to have, at that time, a body that couldn't be sick anyhow. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Because before that takes place, the dead in Christ are going to be raised. They'll have a resurrected body. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we'll have a body that couldn't be sick anyway. And I thought as I read that, isn't that strange that poor old God didn't know that? And he had Jesus to bear something for us that we never could enjoy because we couldn't have been sick anyway. No, friends, thank God deliverance belongs to us now. Not in some far off day
over yonder somewhere, sometime. Amen. Yes, thank God we do have a glorious future. Thank God we do have a wonderful hope. Thank God for the hope of the church. Thank God for the hope of the coming of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the hope that we have of seeing our loved ones and friends again. Thank God for that. And it is a blessed hope. And we rejoice in it. Thank God we don't have to delegate all of God's blessings to the future. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, that deliverance will not come in heaven that he's speaking of here or in the millennium. You won't need it then. We won't need it at least then. Praise God. We can have deliverance now, this moment, in this life. Praise the Lord. For Jesus has already purchased healing for the body as well as the salvation of our spirit or soul or inner man. Praise God. For it is written here in Matthew 8:17 that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And Isaiah the 53rd chapter and the 5th verse of course stated that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise God. And so we rejoice in it. Now you know, there's not any need of splitting hairs and fussing about and fixing the blame about who is responsible and who isn't responsible and who's sinned, who hasn't when it comes to sick and disease. Bless God, this just preached the fact that healing belongs to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but recently the Lord quickened something to me. And though I knew it was there all the time, I saw it in a new light. You know, it's strange, isn't it? How the scriptures that we've known and quoted for 20 years or 25 years, a quarter of a century, many of us have preached. And they brought a thrill to us. But isn't it wonderful that after these many years, some of these same scriptures can be quickened to us anew and bring a new thrill? Isn't that right? I was preaching this summer 8 weeks, revival in the city of Houston. And so in connection with praying with a certain individual, actually a certain individual had wanted to talk to me, and so I'd made an appointment to meet him at a certain time at the church. And so as I went my way to meet him there and to talk with him, And this man needed healing, all right. And then there's another case involved that both of them are very similar. And really, I'm sort of putting the two of them together to tell this. And so as I went my way, I realized in dealing with this man, he'd been saved for a number of years and actually a member of Assemblies of God Church for a great number of years. Oh, when I say a great number of years, I mean 30 years or more, 35 years possibly. Because he was a man in his 60s, and I think he said he had been in ever since he was about 30 years of age or a little before, so he had to be in some 30-some-odd years. And yet he was sick and had been for years and hadn't been able to receive healing, it seemed. And I'll say this, thank God he did receive healing all right. But he just felt like, you know, that he had been a failure in times past in life and in sin. Well, as you talked to him, he couldn't just put his finger on something and said, well, now I've committed this sin and I've committed that sin. I've done this terrible deed. But, you know, just in that category that I just feel like I've been such a failure, you know. And I've sinned. And so he wouldn't leave the impression he didn't know whether God would heal him or not because he had sinned. But somewhere or another, the scripture said there in James 5:14, and it was quickened to me, and I gave it to him and it helped him. And he did receive healing. And he was in serious condition. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now listen. And if, I don't know why, I'd preached and emphasized about the prayer of faith shall save the sick and focused my attention there. But it says, and if he has committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Doesn't it? I said, doesn't it? Well, now you see this man just sure that he had sinned and that he wasn't going to get healed because he'd sinned. because he'd failed, been such a failure. But through the Word of God, we was able to help him. Then this other case come up with this other individual, and I sort of entertained the thought myself. I thought, well, I don't know whether the Lord's going to heal that guy or not. Amen. You know, I don't know whether to pray for sure or not. Now these thoughts bother sometimes. Because he's failed and he's turned right around and stumbled over the same stumbling stone again and again and again and again. Just done the same thing. Looked like it. If it's something else, it'd be something, but the same thing. So as I was driving the car towards the church, you see, again the Lord said to me, he said, do you think that I would require you to do something that I wouldn't do? And immediately I spoke up. I didn't know he was going to get me in a corner, you know. And immediately I spoke up and said, well, Lord, no, Lord, I'm sure you wouldn't, because if you required to me, in other words, would say to me, you'd do something that I wouldn't do, I think that'd sort of be unjust. Well, then he asked me again. He said, do you think that I would require you to be more forgiving than I am? Or do you think that I would require you to forgive when I wouldn't forgive? I didn't know what he was getting at. And I said, no, I don't think you would. Well, he said, you remember when I was on the earth and Peter said to me one day, now, Master, he said, if my brother sins against me, how oft should I forgive him? Till seven times? And said, I said, no, not till seven times, but I say unto you, 7 times 70. Well, 7 times 70 would be 490 times. And if I understand that correctly, putting in with some other scripture that's along the same line, that means in one day. And I began to see what he was getting to. He knew that in the state I was in, I couldn't help that fella because I was about ready to condemn him myself. And said, that poor fella, I don't know. He's just messed up so much and just keeps sinning, doing wrong, and stumbling over this. I knew his heart, you know, was tender toward God, all right, but just seemed to keep falling over that same thing. And I said, no, Lord, I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. That wouldn't be right for you to ask me. And I know he's asked us as a church and Peter and the disciples and any of us to, if you wouldn't forgive, you wouldn't require us to do something you wouldn't do, it wouldn't be right. Well, all right, then, he said. And then he quickened that scripture to me again. I'd used it to help the other fellow, you see. But it sought her to let it get away from me. I didn't. I was sought her. I tell you the truth about it. Tell you the real truth about it. I was almost of the opinion not to help this guy. I guess maybe sought her condemn him or something, you know, or sought her punish him for his wrongdoing. So the Lord said, pointed out to me, that not only was healing available to that man, but the forgiveness of his sins. That he had said, not only will the prayer of faith save the sick, but if he has committed sins, and it didn't say sin, it said sins in the plural, they shall be forgiven him. Hallelujah. And I'm glad, bless God, I was able, even if I was reluctant at first. I thrilled in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I said I thrilled in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now it scares some people to death for you to preach that way. Because they just know that you're trying to give people a license to sin. And I tell folks all the time, there's no use us of giving them a license to sin. They'll do enough sinning without it. And then again, some folks are just sure that when you preach that way, that you're preaching a sinning religion. And like one fellow said to me, bless God, I believe in living above sin. I said, I do too. But I haven't met anybody that's done it, have you? I said, have you and do you? Now, I said, wait a minute before you answer, because I want to tell you something. If you say yes, I want to get your picture. And I want to blow it up to about 14 by 20 and write under it the biggest liar I've ever met. And he said, no, I haven't. I said, I knew you had. I said, did you ever have to fall back on some of these scriptures and say, Lord, forgive me? He said, plenty of time. Well, I said, what are you griping about then? Praise the Lord. No, we're not giving people a license to sin or encouraging folks to do wrong. But I'll tell you, thank God for his mercy. Amen. If it hadn't been for his goodness, where would we have been? I believe in going on unto perfection. I believe in that. But I tell you, brother, I'm like Paul. I don't count myself to already be perfect. And I'll tell you the truth about it, about the time I think I'm doing pretty good and getting pretty sanctified. About that time something will happen and I found out I ain't near as sanctified as I thought I was. How about you? I said, how about you? Huh? Amen. Yes, sir, that's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, I tell you, I don't see that we have any room to be of trying to blame and fix the blame. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's just preach deliverance. Amen. Let's just preach what the Word of God said, that if folks are condemning themselves and say, I'd missed it, well, let's tell them, thank God it's in there, that He not only said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, but if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And tell them the 103rd Psalm said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But you know, we've sort of got a carryover nowadays in the religious circles from these Pharisees here in the days of Jesus upon the earth. Here in this 9th chapter of John. Yes, sir, we still got that same old Pharisaical spirit. And you know what? It made those folks mad when this fella got healed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They weren't at all glad about it. They got mad about it. Isn't that strange that folks get mad because somebody got something from God? I mean church people. Amen, that's true. And so they called him in and talked to him about it. Called him on the carpet. And so he told them about it. Well, they called his parents in. His mom and daddy got to thinking about it and said, now we've been a member of this church for years, and grandpa and grandma's in this church, and we don't want to get in trouble. Well, they said, he's our boy, all right. He's our son, and he was blind, but said, now, he can see now. Now, how it all happened, we don't know. Now, you know better than that. He told them, they knew exactly what happened. But see, they didn't want to get excommunicated because he's going to turn them out. So they called him in again and asked him about it. Yeah, he said, this is the way it happened. This man Jesus healed me. He said, why, you ask me? You want to believe in him too? And they got up and throwed him out. Amen. They weren't at all glad about that. Made him mad. Ignored the poor fellow till now. Pay no attention to him whatsoever. But just as soon as he got something from God, then they got stirred up about it. Sort of reminds me down in East Texas, I know a fellow that was in the road business building. He's a contractor in the road business building business. And, of course, involves thousands of dollars. Man of much wealth. This had the revival, a little full gospel church, and so some of the neighbors invited him to go. And finally got him to go. And he and his wife went out on a Sunday night to attend the revival, and he went to the altar. Well, both of them went to the altar, and both of them were saved. Well, it got circulated over time because it's unusual for a man of his social standing and wealth and business and so on to be down in a little humble full gospel church. And so it sort of went out over town. It wasn't too big of a town. Oh, 35,000-40,000 population, little city, I guess. Probably around 30,000-40,000 at that time. I'm sure it's bigger now. But anyway, so it got out. So it got back to the pastor of the church that he belonged to. And so this pastor came out where he was building a road to see it, building a highway. And he finally got hold of him, and he said to him, well, I thought I'd come to see you. And he knew what he was up to, and he said, now, isn't that strange? That I was raised up in your church, and my grandmother and grandfather's a member of your church, and my mother and daddy's a member of your church, and I've been a member of your church for 19 years myself, ever since I was a younger fella. And I haven't been to church in 18 months. I haven't set my foot inside the church door in 18 months. And isn't that strange? You've never come before to see about me. I just wonder why. So the pastor grinned and said, well, I heard about what happened last Sunday night. He said, now, don't you let those people fool you. You've been saved all the time. Why, he said, I haven't been. I haven't been saved at all till last Sunday night. I got saved last Sunday night. I got born again last Sunday night. Oh, he said, you just got down there among those people. And they may be pretty good people, but they're quite emotional. And they got you all stirred up. And it'll wear off. It'll wear off in a few days. And he said, well, no, they did get me stirred up. And he said, it hasn't worn off. It's been a few days by now. In fact, this is Wednesday. It hadn't worn off. Said, in fact, it's getting better all the time. I'm feeling better all the time. Praise the Lord. Well, he said, you come on back over here where you belong. And he said, no, I'll tell you the truth about it, Pastor. We won't be back there. He said, not only that, he said, you haven't been to see about me. I haven't been to church in 18 months. My wife and I neither one have been out of church. But he said, I send them a check every month. And long as that check comes, I guess you're satisfied. But it won't be coming anymore. He said, you know what? He said, we're planning on getting filled with the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues. Praise the Lord. Now, that's true. That actually happened. And that fellow got mad about it. Well, he said, I'll tell you right now, you better leave those folks alone. Said, they're lunatics. And you just better stay away from them. Leave them alone. Well, no, he said, I haven't found out there that way. They seem to be mighty fine people to me. Actually, he said, this family lives right alongside me. I've never seen any better citizens or better people or better neighbors in my life than them. They're not lunatics. Why, he said, don't you know that they won't even allow you to drink beer? Why, he said, you know, since I got saved last Sunday night, I said I haven't wanted to drink anything is wrong. Praise God. I haven't even known any strong drink. And he said, you know, I'm used to drinking a little bit along too. But said, never have even thought of it. Did you mention it? And he said, that man said, well, I tell you what, said they even preach against smoking cigarettes. Why, he said, you know what, I hadn't thought of that either. But said, I haven't smoked one since last Sunday night and I got saved. Why, he said, I'll tell you one thing. You can't live what they preach. He said, well, I'm sure having a wonderful time trying it. Praise the Lord. And you know, that fellow, many years have come and gone. Actually, 15 or more. And he's still going on far and with God. Praise the Lord. But isn't that strange now? They didn't bother him at all till he got something from God. As soon as he got something from God, here they come trying to talk him out of it. I know I was pastor of a little church for a few months. A man had built this church, and it's a new church, and he put his tent up another place, had a good meeting, he wanted to build a church there, so he said, Brother Hagin, take care of this for me for 6 months while I build this church, and then I'll turn it over to someone. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll preach here for you, this small church and new work, and I'll hold some meetings, and if I'm not here, because, see, I was on the field time, well, I'll get somebody else to preach. Well, in that town, there was a man that belonged to a certain church, and he had was paralyzed, and completely helpless. And so he had heard on the radio, and other folks had told him about it, about a meeting down in Dallas, a healing meeting. So they put him in a car and carried him from this little town down there about 20 miles away, and hands were laid upon him, and he got up and walked out of that wheelchair. See, he's paralyzed. He got up and walked out of that wheelchair. Walked out of the church, got into the car, rode home, walked out of the car, into his house for the first time in 12 years, undressed himself and got into bed. And by his own admission, after he got into bed, he got to thinking about it. Well, you know, I don't know whether I believe that or not. Now, isn't that strange? He said he decided that fellow had hypnotized him. And when he got to thinking about it, he became totally paralyzed again. He couldn't move. And he said, the night time, I said to the Lord, Lord, now if that's really you and that's really the Holy Ghost, you let that same power come on me again. And he said, I felt that power move on me. And I got up, got out of bed, and walked into the kitchen, got me a drink of water. So I said, well, this is God. Praise the Lord. And so, his wife, of course, he had been paralyzed these years. She had to make the living. And they had one child, a girl, but she was, well, just about grown. Actually, she had a job, too, and was going to high school. But it went all over this little town where he lived. Wasn't there 300 or 400 people there? And so you see, that went all over, because that fella, he got up next morning, dressed himself, and walked about the place. People saw him. People heard about it. And for a day or two, he was like the way. 3 days. And it went all over that little town about him being healed. But his pastor heard about it, and he went over there to visit him and knocked on the door, and the man walked to the door where he had been in a wheelchair. He walked to the door, opened the door, invited him in. They walked out and sat out on a sun porch and talked. This pastor said to him, now, I'll tell you, you made a mistake going around those people. Now, he said, it's to be admitted that they do some healings all right, but he said it's of the devil. Now, it'd be better for you. You've been a Christian for years, a member of our church, and it'd be better for you just not ever be healed than to be healed that way. And when he got through talking to him, that man couldn't get out of his chair. He couldn't see him to the door. He was completely helpless like he was to begin with. And I'm a witness of the fact, the last count I had of it, and I've had the count of it in recent years, that these years have come and gone since then. You see, that happened way back in 1937. And I do know this personally, that up 1950, the man was still bound, still in a wheelchair. As far as I know since then, he's still in the same boat if he's still alive. Now, isn't that strange? Isn't that strange that some folks would rather that folks just wouldn't get anything from God because it proves they're wrong? And if they do get something, they try to talk them out of it. Now that church, that pastor ought to have been glad, shouldn't he? He ought to have been glad that the man could walk and receive something from God. Right on the other hand, some pastors are. You know, I was holding a meeting. I preached a camp meeting for this section. I don't know what section it is. Section, they go by numbers up here, don't they? Assembly God. Section down in the southeast corner of the state, you know. And then they put up a tent for a sectional camp meeting. And they put that tent up in the city park there in Hugo, Oklahoma. And I was invited to come preach and pray for the sick in 1951. And so I preached there, and then we went to Atlanta, Georgia after that. We had the General Council of Assemblies of God that year in Atlanta, Georgia. So after the camp meeting, I had a few days, so I preached there in the Assembly of God Church there in Hugo for about 10 days. And there was a man one night in my service that was in a wheelchair. He's paralyzed. He's in a wheelchair, paralyzed with his hips down, and actually to some extent even up above. And I laid hands on him, and God's my witness, as is the church crammed full of people and people standing around the walls, that man got out of the wheelchair, walked, and I sat down in it, and he pushed me up and down the aisle around the front of the church. Praise the Lord. Now, the very next night, I came in to preach. I came in about the time I knew they'd turn it to me. I like to come fresh from God and stay back and pray. I sat down on the platform. When I did, Brother Medford, the pastor, said to me, "Brother Higgin, I want you to meet the pastor." He mentioned a Baptist church there. I don't know whether it's the First Baptist or not, but a Baptist church there in Hugo. And so I shook hands with him. And you see, the fellow leading the singing was still up there. And so he sat down then. Brother Medford got up, take up the offering, and turned the service to me. While we were there, this Baptist pastor reached over and whispered to me and said, "Brother Higgin, that man that was healed last night, paralyzed in that wheelchair, is from my church." He said, "I want you to know I appreciate that." Why, he said, we built a ramp over there at our church to get him in, because his steps, you know, up. Old church, old building, you know. We built that ramp especially for him. And for 4 years, you see, in time of the day, you go down there during the daytime, he gets somebody to push him downtown. And he never misses church. We appreciate that. But said, "I'll tell you, when the report went out the day that he was healed here last night, and I went to see about him and found that man out of that wheelchair and walking, and he was in the service that night," he said, "I want you to know," I said, "bless God, I appreciate it. I don't care. I know that's God. That's not the devil." And he said, "I'm going to get over that night and get in on this." And so I happened to preach again that night on healing. I preached on the double cure, you know, salvation for the soul, healing for the body. And I preached on the fact that he's opened the door of salvation. I preached, took the text there from Revelation, you know, "I'm he that openeth and closeth, and what I open no man can shut, and what I shut no man can open." And so then this Baptist pastor asked me, he said, "Brother Hagin, would you loan me your notes?" He said, "I want to preach that Sunday morning in my church." He said, "Just like you preached it. I want to be able to tell my congregation what happened to this man. And I want to preach it, and then after I preach it, invite anybody else to come, and I'll pray for him." Praise God, I loaned him my notes. And we went by that Sunday, and you know, a few days, about 10 days altogether, before we went down to Atlanta. And he came back and brought my notes and told me, said, "I preached your sermon." And said, "My, we had a time over there this morning." Well, thank God for those who will accept truth. Now, what a difference it would have been if this other man had had a pastor like that. There were two men in similar condition. One delivered, still delivered. The other one bound, still bound. Yes, it makes some glad, it makes some mad what God does. But thank God for the moving of His Spirit, and thank God, God does deliver. You know, they asked this old boy, this blind fella. And you know what? He did have a strange experience, didn't he, after all? Jesus spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle and rubbed it on his eyes and said, go wash it off in the pool of Siloam and you shall come again seeing. Now, I'm sure glad he didn't run into a lot of people I know of. I mean, even full gospel preachers. They'd have talked him out of it. Yes, they would. Yes, they would. Can't you just imagine him meeting some fella? And the fella said, hey, where are you going? Well, he said, I'm going to the pool of Siloam. And then about that time he noticed he's got something on his eye. And he said, hey, what in the world is that anyway in your eye? Well, he said, I tell you, there's a fella spit in my eye. He said, if I go wash it out, I can see it. You know, Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than ye shall you do, because I go unto the Father. You know, you spit on people and expect God to heal them. You can't just confine God to one way of doing things. Why, some folks have said, why, you know there's nothing to that. Why, don't you know that if he could have healed you, that he'd have touched your eyes and you could see? Why, he's just giving you the run around. Why, you're a fool. I wouldn't make a fool of myself that way. And you know, that's the very reason why a lot of good people even don't receive healing. I mean, even full gospel people. God wants people to do things sometimes to demonstrate their faith. Did you know that? I mean, before any manifestation comes. I remember one time I was preaching in Denton, Texas, full gospel church, and the Lord spoke to me about praying for folks who were deaf, and that's so I said, well, there's somebody here that's that way God wants me to pray for, and there's one woman came, that's all. Woman, I believe she said she's 63 years old, had been deaf, totally deaf in one ear for 40 years. Ever since she was about 23 years old. Well, the Lord told me, he said, tell her to walk up and down the aisle three times. So I told her that. She walked up down there three times. She wasn't any better. I said, sister, bless God, all I know is the Lord spoke to me and you did what I did what he told me to do. And he didn't give me any further instructions as far as I can go. So that night we come back to church. The next night she still couldn't hear. We come back the third night. She still couldn't hear. But after she got home in the nighttime, that third night, suddenly her ear was open. And she testified loud along, praise God, and folks checked her and examined her, knew that she was completely delivered. And like she said, I just never did doubt it. I just wake up and go to sleep, thank God, because I'm here. I'm healed. Well, now there's a little test there, faith. But she acted and came again hearing. And this man did what Jesus said and came again seeing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yes, sir. That's the truth. That's the truth. And then I noticed this, that he said this to those folks when they called him on the carpet. One thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. Can you say amen?